rates were, you know, right around where they kind of are now, depending on credit and other variables and factors, right? So that's kind of where they were. And then rates dropped to 2.5, 3%, right? And because it happened and it lasted for so long, like it did, it wasn't just like a week, right? Or it wasn't just a few months, right? Rates stayed that low for quite a while. And so everybody was trying to buy a house, and everybody thought that that was the norm. Everybody thought a 3% was the norm because it lasted for so long, right? They talk about how does something become a habit or your new norm? You do it for more than like 90 days, I believe it is, or 120 days. But anyway, besides the point, everybody started thinking that that was the new norm. That's what happens, right? We adapt. At first, we're adapting, and then things just last for quite the duration, and then it just becomes the new norm. And that's our normal. So now that rates have gone up, people are going, oh my God, what happened to the threes? And I tell them, like, look, so that what actually happened there was more of an anomaly than anything, right? That was more of an anomaly period where rates were that low. But guess what? Here's what also was happening during that period. People were paying way more for a home than what it was actually worth. Are you a new real estate agent ready to learn from industry leaders who were once in your shoes and now want to give back? Learning tips, tricks, hacks, advice, and most importantly of all, what to avoid. You'll learn the pain of the growth process that has helped them get to where they are today. From seasoned agents to agents who are still new to the game but growing and scaling their business at a rapid pace. Welcome to the New Real Estate Agent Podcast with Ryan Strong. Welcome on back. Here we go with another episode of the New Real Estate Agent Podcast with myself, Ryan Strong. And again, you know, before we get started and jump into the meat and potatoes of this great episode right here, I am Ryan Strong. I'm a newer real estate agent. You can check us out and everything that we do teach for free at channeljunkies.com, Channel Junkies on YouTube, Channel Junkies Facebook group, The New Real Estate Agent on YouTube, and of course this podcast. And you can find me on just about any platform if you type in my name. So, but like we always ask, hey, look, if you know, we greatly appreciate any reviews. If you hit the subscribe button to this podcast, leave me a little, just, you don't even have to write anything. Just type in some 5 stars if you really like this podcast and the content that's being delivered on it and are you finding it helpful. And as always, if you are thinking of joining eXp Realty and you're looking for a sponsor, reach out and let's see if we're a good fit. I'll show you basically the ins and outs of my business, teach you exactly how I do it. And if that's something you think you're, you know, your vision aligns with, then hey, let's see if we're a good fit. So the meat and potatoes, let's do it. Let's talk about it. How to help your clients and navigate this shifting market. And so a lot of this comes with education, all right? We talk about that a lot on this podcast. Education, knowing what to say isn't necessarily important because you're like, oh, well, what do I say? Like, then you think you have to have like a script or something, right? Really, it's just knowledge is power. And when you have the knowledge and you truly believe in the knowledge that you have, then you speak with passion and conviction to your clients. That then carries over to them, which may, you know, influence a purchasing or selling decision, depending on how it is that you deliver the information, the knowledge that you have. When it comes to the knowledge piece, though, you have to, nobody's just going to run up to you and say, hey, you're a real estate agent here. I wanted to share this information with you. Like, that doesn't happen. We've already talked about many, many times that this being one of those industries where it's kind of crazy how you get your license and then you're left, you know, out to dry and you got to go really find things. So you have to seek out the knowledge. You have to seek out the knowledge. You have to really find it yourself. You have to do your own research, your own homework. You have to understand what's really going on. And with this shifting market, you have to really understand what's going on in the economy, right? You have to understand what's going on in the economy. This is stuff that you really have to indulge yourself in and know what's happening, why things are happening the way they are. And what really helps too is when you have a good lender partner. I have a really good lender partner, and him and I talk all the time, just about daily, and not always about money and finance and stuff like that. But we do talk often about, you know, the economy, what's going on in the world, why that's important, you know, how does it affect our business, what are we doing about it, things like that. And he pays really, you know, in-depth attention to the Fed, what they're doing with interest rates, because as far as him, that's his piece in knowledge of education. When we get on client Zooms and stuff like that, educating them on why interest rates are going up or why they're going down, what's happening in the world with economy and things like that that can be impactful to their decision. So enough about that. Now let's talk about the actual knowledge. And here I'm going to tell you exactly how I am educating my clients. And again, this is stuff that I truly believe and am passionate about, and it comes across when I say it. So here's what I'm saying to my clients when they ask questions about, you know, should we wait? All right. Should I wait and see if the prices are going to come down and the market's going to crash? All right. Education, again, knowledge for you, educating them, right? So do we think the market's going to crash? Well, look, I don't have a crystal ball. I can't see into the future, but we look at historical data, right? History is always a great indication of what could potentially happen in the future. And as of right now, there are historically, from what we've seen before crashes to now, there's no indication that there is going to be a full-on market crash. And the one that people think about the most being 2008, we are not seeing that. We are not seeing the data showing that we are going to have some sort of bubble burst and market crash and frenzy and crazy stuff happening. We're not seeing that. Now, I could be wrong, right? I could be wrong tomorrow, and then you'll call and text me or whatever it is tomorrow and be like, Ryan, the market full on crashed. You were wrong. And I'm like, you're absolutely right. I was wrong. Now what are we going to do, right? How do we move forward? What are we going to do? So always admit when you are wrong, right? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being wrong. Imagine that. But that's like that market crash question. That's exactly how I answer it. Okay. And it's true. As far as historical indicators, there's nothing showing me as a real estate agent that is going to happen. Now, what a lot of people were freaking out about recent or as of recent is interest rates, right? Oh my God, interest rates are sixes. They may go up to sevens, and I have such a really, really high interest rate. And yes, I fully understand that. Now, we have to put some perspective on this. Historically speaking, yes, back then interest rates were, 18%. But also, when we're looking at back then, the economy in the world wasn't where it is today. So really, to me, back then isn't necessarily completely relevant and a point that you should use. Okay. What I like to use is anything from the last, 15 years, really. And I say, well, let's look at what, happened before things got nuts in 2020, 2021, 2022, or the beginning of 2022, rates were, right around where they kind of are now, depending on credit and other variables and factors, right? So that's kind of where they were. And then rates dropped to 2.5, 3%, right? And because it happened and it lasted for so long, like it did, it wasn't just like a week, right? Or it wasn't just a few months, right? Rates stayed that low for quite a while. And so everybody was trying to buy a house and everybody thought that was the norm. Everybody thought a 3% was the norm because it lasted for so long, right? They talk about how does something become a habit or your new norm? You do it for more than like 90 days, I believe it is, or 120 days. But anyway, besides the point. Everybody started thinking that was the new norm. That's what happens, right? We adapt. At first, we're adapting, and then things just last for quite the duration, and then it just becomes the new norm, and that's our normal. So now that rates have gone up, people are going, oh my God, what happened to the threes? And I tell them, like, look, so that what actually happened there was more of an anomaly than anything, right? That was more of an anomaly period where rates were that low. But guess what? Here's what also was happening during that period. People were paying way more for a home than what it was actually worth. Now, what a home is valued at is determined essentially by an appraiser. Now, what a home is really worth, I guess, is what a buyer's willing to pay for it. So if we're looking at value and worth, what they thought it was worth, they were overpaying in terms of the appraised value. People were overpaying for homes, anywhere from 10,000 upwards of 100,000 plus for homes to land that home. So you needed a lot of cash out of the piggy bank, a lot of cash out of pocket to get that home. So let's fast forward to where we are today. The market has completely shifted, or it's still in, not completely, it's still in its shift, right? Now we are still low in inventory in terms of having 3 to 4 months of inventory available. Yes, we are still low, but we're starting to see that come up. And what has also impacted buyers, home buyers, right, is interest rates going up impacts their qualification, right? This does impact qualification for sure. Now, here's what we're not seeing though as much in today's market is you being the home buyer having to come out of pocket, having to empty out your piggy bank to go and get a home. Now we're starting to see things, and I just purchased a property myself where I was able to get it $25,000 under asking and some other things in the deal as well. So that's what we're seeing with my clients. My clients were either writing pretty much a straight up offer, or depending on how my clients feel, right, and how long it's been on the market, right, all these other factors. But we are starting to either write at list price and no craziness. We're not writing in appraisal clauses, escalation clauses, or any other crazy contingencies and stuff like that. We're not naming our, next born child after the seller or any crazy stuff like that. We are pretty much writing straight up offers or under asking and going from there and playing our cards right. That's where we're at right now. So you don't actually need that extra 50K. Let's make sure we have some money for closing costs, earnest money deposit, things like that. But where we're at right now in this shift, so yeah, you might have a six, all right? But it's just a six meaning interest rate. You might have this 6% interest rate, but hey, look, we're not 8 months ago where I would have said, hey, look, yeah, you're going to have a 3% interest rate, but do you have are you able to have some extra funds to move around or play with, such like 30 grand, 40 grand, 50 grand, whatever it may be? We're not doing that no more. Now it's like, yes, you're going to have a six, but hey, here's that. You're going to, that 60 grand that you have in the bank, we're actually going to hold on to that. You're going to be able to hold on to that and then have that for any renovations you want to do or anything like that when you get in the home. Now, here's the other cool thing that, if somebody was paying an extra 50 grand for a home, then they were overpaying for that home. That money's gone, right? That money's gone. It's out. It's gone. They're going to have to wait for their home to appreciate over time, and who knows how long it'll be, right? Who knows how long it'll be for that home to appreciate to start to see maybe that money come back. So now where we're at today, yes, you may have a six. You're keeping that money in your bank for the most part, and you're not overpaying drastically for a home. And in about 6 months, a year, year and a half, play it. We'll definitely stay in touch with the lender partner and see what's going on with the rates and stuff like that. You can change this rate. All right. So what I'm getting at is you can't change what you paid initially for that home, but what you can change is your rate. All right. So keep that in mind. You can change your rate. You can get that five, six, seven, whatever it is at that moment when the wind blows and the rates change with the wind. All right, but you can change that. So the cliche really in the real estate world is marry the house, date the rate. All right. And so yes, fall in love with the house, but hey, look, you're only dating this rate. All right. We're gonna break up with this 6% here and in 6 months, and then we're gonna come down to a four, right? Or whatever it is at that time, depending on the market and stuff. But that's essentially what I'm telling and educating my clients is, hey, look, yeah, it's still a good time to buy. You don't wanna not buy now because of a rate. And then 5 or 10 years, homes appreciated, homes have hit another drastic appreciation, or they just have appreciated over those 5 years and you lost out. And now 5 years down the road, you're going, man, I should have bought back then, even though rates were high, I should have bought, right? People today, or people, people through the craziness of the seller's market, but people today, right, are still going, I should have bought 10 years ago. I should have bought 15 years ago, right? You don't want to be saying that 5 years from now because you waited on a rate, right? Or even 2 years from now because you waited on a rate to go down, trying to time the market. That's the next piece, is trying to time the market. People get this thing and this idea in their head that they're going to time the market. That's like one of the worst ideas possible when it comes to real estate, is trying to time this market. That's going to be what holds you up. And really, the question then becomes, it's not necessarily the cost of the home. The question becomes, how much is it going to cost you not to buy this home, right? How much is it going to cost you not to buy this home? Are you thinking of it as an investment, right? Are we thinking about those types of things? Is this your forever home and you're planting roots? We never know, all right? We never know. The last piece I'll get into with this is, a lot of times people are looking at the rate for the here and now, all right? They're thinking about, oh my God, I got a six here and now. We already talked about how this can change, right? But the other piece of this is, hey, do you plan on paying or owning this home for 30 years? Oh, well, I don't know. I don't know yet, Ryan. I don't know if we're going to own it for 30 years. Well, let's talk about your goals and priorities with the home. You've already mentioned this, 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 and this, right? Or what we're seeing happen a lot, right? Depending on your situation, circumstances, and things like that. In 3 to 5 years, you might be looking at, hey, maybe our family's getting bigger and we need to upgrade, or we might be moving, or hey, we do want to upgrade, but let's keep this one and let's rent this one out, right? Now we got a cash flow vehicle over here, and then let's go buy another home, right? And in that time, that rate can change. And then if you're going to sell that home in 3 years anyway, right? So you refied after a year, and then in 2 more years, you're planning on selling it. You're never going to have that 6 for 30 years. So don't think that that 6% is for 30 years on an entire mortgage. You're not going to pay that. People get so caught up in the moment of a 6, and it's just realistically, you're probably not going to have that home for 30 years. And like we've already talked about, we can look into doing a refi, whenever the rates seem like they're good enough. So again, a lot of this is education, and you can probably hear it in my voice that I'm pretty passionate and I'm speaking with a lot of conviction about the topic. And I'm not trying to tell people this so they go buy a house and I make a commission. This is, I just told you, I'm buying a house. I have a 5.2 at the time. And so that's very personal, but that's what my rate is. And I'm not scared of it. I'm telling this because I'm doing it, and I'm not scared of my own rate because I know that down the line, right, down the line at some point or another, I will be able to get that to come down. And again, like I just talked about, am I going to have this house for 30 years? I don't know. Most likely, I'm probably going to, rent it out after 2. And then at that point, I'll probably do a refi first, and then I'll look into renting it out after, get that monthly down, right? Get a cash flow vehicle, so I'll get the lower rate, and then go and buy my upgrade house, right? So the same thing, we just got to educate them. You got to have the knowledge, right? So you got to be looking into these things. You got to have the knowledge. The knowledge is the power, and you got to speak with passion, okay? You got to speak with passion because you don't want them to miss out because they think that timing the market is the best thing to do. Or that they think the market's going to crash, all right? Because no matter what, let's say that they buy now and then the market crashes and then all the home values and stuff do go down. They're going, oh, I should have waited, right? And then home prices and stuff eventually are going to all come back around because this thing happens in waves, right? What goes down must come up, what goes up must come down. And so eventually, yeah, it's going to come down, but it's going to go right back up. Real estate has proven to appreciate over time. It's like, the one thing that just is a proven hedge against inflation. So they're going to buy now and then the market's going to crash. And go, oh, I should have waited. And then the values are going to go up again at some point. And then it's going to be like, no, you really shouldn't have waited. You're actually in a good spot right now. And then who knows? Who knows if when that crash might happen? So let's say that you don't buy now and you keep waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for this market to crash. And then it just kind of never does. Then what? Then you're going, I should have bought last year. We don't want to do that. We don't want to be in that spot. So knowledge is power. Educate your clients. Speak with passion. Speak with conviction. Know your stuff. The education, like we talk about, you having that knowledge and being able to educate your clients is what's really going to build that trust as a new real estate agent, build those bonds, build those relationships, and people are going to just love working with you. So stick with it. We've got tons of other episodes on this podcast. Make sure you go back, listen to some of those great stuff about marketing, how to generate leads, all that cool stuff. Again, if you have any questions, my name is Ryan, and you can email me at ryan@channeljunkies.com. That is ryan@channeljunkies.com, channeljunkies.com website, Channel Junkies YouTube, Channel Junkies Facebook group, and we'll see you guys in the next one.